Hello, how are you? I hope you're having a wonderful day. Thank you for being here. This is the Between Me and Drew podcast, and believe it or not, we have another wonderful grower with me today. We have Heather from Petal Pink Flowers in Oregon joining us for today's episode. Super, super excited, and believe it or not, we're not in Illinois anymore. So I've been really embracing the foggy, cloudy mornings, all of the humidity, the very interesting people, and the incredibly diverse agriculture that we don't have in the Midwest. The people in the Midwest are a little different. We've got a little more inbreeding going on if you go south, but the ag is totally, totally different, and it's very, very amazing. So if you have the opportunity to come visit, I would really, really encourage you to do that. But that's not why we're here. Heather has a really, really wonderful operation, an amazing Instagram, etc. And I'm super stoked for us to chat today. So, hi.
Hello.
How is it going?
Good.
Good.
Wonderful.
How was your day?
The day was good. I did zero farming, which is sad because it was sunny and 60 degrees, which never happens in February, but it was the day I scheduled dentist and haircut. I know. So good for me, but I could have been pulling weeds in the sun. But it's okay.
No, save that for a cloudy day. It's fine. Okay, wonderful. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see what all happens and where this little interview goes. But we have three key points that we're going to talk about today. First is building a farm with a family in tow, because I think that reflects to your experience and also a lot of other people's as well.
Mm-hmm.
Second is finding your sales market. When we briefly talked a couple days ago, you had mentioned that you've done weddings and you sell to florists and you do, you know, bouquets at shops, and you've kind of run the gamut of avenues and channels. So we have lots of stuff to talk about there.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a few long-term goals.
Okay. I'll be thinking about them.
Okay.
While I also pay attention to what I'm currently talking about. I'll be multitasking.
I was going to say, how well can you multitask?
We'll find out the last question.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So can you tell us a little bit about Petal Pink, how you got started, where you're from, your origin story?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not from an agricultural family. Like, I'm Google taught, you know?
Okay.
Slash mistakes taught.
Nice.
Grew up in California, but 10 years ago, my husband and two boys and I moved here to Oregon.
Yeah.
And we wanted to live on a farm, but I didn't even know flower farming was a thing.
Right.
But I knew I needed a job.
Yep.
And I also wanted to be able to, like, have flexibility to be with my kids. I wanted to take my kids to school and go on their field trips. I wanted to be my own boss.
Okay.
So I did this Google search, because we only have 10 acres. And it was, this is 10 acres that we've been working hard to reclaim from the blackberries and the burned piles of garbage and all, because this farm was a mess. So I Googled something like crops that are profitable on small acreage or something like that. Because everyone around us farms thousands of acres and they do grass seed.
Yep.
So I'm like, well, what can I do on 1 acre? And
they
were like, it was 10 things. It was like mushrooms.
Mushrooms, herbs.
Saffron.
Which is totally inaccessible.
In Oregon? It was like, pick the stamen out of, I'm like,
out of a
skip.
Crocus that's 2 inches tall? Please.
I can't do that. And then I said flowers. And I was like, well, who doesn't, I mean, I was, you know, like yes, that sounds dreamy and amazing. But I will say, I've been growing. I know that it was work. I knew it was work. I did not think I would be laying in a field of flowers in a beautiful dress.
Isn't that funny?
With money falling from the sky onto me. I knew. So I went for flowers.
Okay.
But I had never, ever grown a flower in my life.
Okay.
So Brett, my wonderful husband, used a pickaxe. And he he picked the sod out of our lawn, 3 rows of sod out, so I could put flowers in it.
He used a pickaxe to do that?
Well, you saw my grass.
And he's a very fit man.
He is a fit man, yes.
Good catch.
It looked good. And I appreciate it. So he did that. And that was my, like, practice year
okay.
where I proved to myself, I grew, like, you know, 20 snapdragons, 15 zinnias, yeah, whatever. But yeah. I was like, oh, I can do this. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna go for it. And so that was how it started, and then just like grew from there to an actual, well, you were there. I mean, it's semi.
It's put together.
Whatever. It's fine. That's really nice of you.
It is.
Put together. It's fairly put together.
Yeah. I mean, you have your spaces.
Our rows aren't picked out of the front lawn anymore.
We are moving on up, ladies and gentlemen.
We're doing better. So that's, you know, how it started. And I started working on making relationships with florists. That's when I started my Instagram.
Okay.
Flower farming is very conducive. It's very easy to have a good looking Instagram account when you're growing flowers.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people when they go, how do you, I'm like, I just take a picture of what I have, what I'm dealing with.
Right. Well, how'd you come up with the name?
That's a cute story. I was stuck. I couldn't figure out a name, and I just brainstormed like all the, like a word dump on paper. And it was like flowers and petals, leaves, whatever. I just put all these words, and then my son, Moses, my oldest son, who at the time, he was like 11, he like looked at the paper and he started going, pink petal, petal pink, petal drift, petal fall stem, stem fall. And he just started like rattling off. I was like, slow down. And he said petal pink, it was alliterative. So
yeah.
I went.
And it stuck.
So Moses named it.
Good job, Moses.
Yeah.
Props to him.
I know.
Okay, so we've graduated from the three beds in the front row, in the front yard.
Yep.
Currently, we're growing on...
What do you think that is? It's like just under an acre. It's not an acre quite. Maybe it is.
Infield space?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got two tunnels.
Two tunnels, unheated.
Yep.
We've just put in a peony field, which is not, 550. It's not
which
huge.
Which is amazing.
It's going to be wonderful. I'm very excited. It's manageable for me. It's the size I want.
Absolutely.
And then we have like a very small perennial field there in front of those two tunnels where I have, you know, like delphinium and roses and
gorgeous hellebores. Oh, the hellebores are in
the
boxes.
The hellebores are in their funny little, always trying to sneak out areas like, hey, Brett.
I have to pause you for a second. Please. I had a hellebore awakening today.
Oh. Tell me more.
Uh-huh. So, at Peter Court.
She's been posting this.
Holy shit.
I know. That's why I want to go there.
They are fucking gorgeous.
How tall are they, Drew? Tell me.
Easy 18 to 24.
They're in a tunnel?
Okay, so they're in the old... you're fine. They're in the old orchid house. Okay. It was too expensive to continue to heat the orchid house, so they let the orchids go. Mm. Within the big orchid house, which is a double-wide gutter connect, it's a pretty sizable structure. Yeah. They have a quarter of it partitioned off for higher humidity because that's where the amazing maidenhair fern is growing underneath the benches. So on top of the benches was all Catalea orchids, but now it's 3-gallon pots filled with hellebore. Mm-hmm. So there's one hellebore plant in each pot. Mm-hmm. She's running Ice and Roses series and like a frosted something series of hellebore. They're all singles, but fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. Those singles are way better. I got sucked into the doubles when gorgeous. I bought mine, but they're not. They don't work as well.
So I love to see like someone taking a space that wasn't profitable for them to use, figuring it out. And like the timeline is so amazing because they have the product, some of it's available for Valentine's Day with no supplemental heat. It'll be, you know, full flush for Easter, prepped, ready to go, hardened off. They'll harvest off of it, leave the drip irrigation on the timer for the summer. Mm-hmm. The ferns get the excess water down below.
Oh my gosh, it's
shaded, the ferns are gonna love it. And it's just a very self-sufficient cycle.
It's genius. And then those plants can just stay in the 3-gallon pots.
For a very long time.
Wow.
Yep.
It's so smart. Because, yeah, you saw my hellebores. They have flowers on them.
Yeah.
Out in, it's been 34 degrees. So if they were just in an unheated tunnel, they would be farther along.
Hardened off.
So smart.
So I took videos. There's four, I think they had four varieties that were like right at the like cusp of maturity. Mm-hmm. And all of the ones that were blooming were going on their third year. And, like, the foliage was gorgeous. The stems were easily 18 to 24 inches. 5, 6 stems per plant. You know, some of them are thicker than others, but all still saleable. And like from a profitability standpoint, you're not heating. You have the one-time investment of the plant, the pot, and the soil. So you've got about $6 to $7 there. And if you're selling stems to a florist at $1.85, I mean, that's going to pay for itself in...
your first harvest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe a couple years before you get anything, but who cares? Because then they'll continue to make you money for years.
And even if you needed, if you were short on money and you needed money for taxes or whatever, sell those fucking pots.
Yes. That's sell what I was the pots. You. And do you know Bethany sells her hellebore foliage?
Which is amazing.
Yes.
It's so, it's
super.
It's neat. Hardened off. Yeah. It doesn't need water.
And you end up cutting that off the plants anyways.
Yes.
Okay. Why do we both not have a tunnel?
Because I just put in thousands last year out in the field. Okay.
You could build a, there's all kinds of, yes.
I know.
There's a lot of ways that could go with this.
Anyway.
I love it.
Reining it back in.
What were we talking about? Origin. Why are we talking about me?
Origin story. Because you're cool.
I have 35 hellebore pots okay, under my palm tree, and they look really good. I have more than that, but yeah.
Amazing. Okay, cool. Sweet. So that's Petal Pink.
That's us.
Okay.
Yeah, we sell the florists mostly.
Yep.
That's what I do.
And we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Are we good?
We're great.
Fabulous. Yeah. Let's jump in. First point, building a farm with a family in tow. Let's talk about the story of moving from California.
Oh, the accidental farm purchase?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Let's do that.
My husband and I grew up in the Silicon Valley in the Bay Area. Like, Brett's like a street kid.
Oh, God.
You know, like unsupervised, riding his bike.
What did you do before you, when you were living in California, what were you doing for work?
Right. Drew, my story is very, it goes, okay.
I want to hear.
I was 19 when we got married.
Nice.
In college, and still happily married, and went to graduate school to be, and I have my master's in counseling psychology.
Ooh.
So that was my plan, was I was going to be a therapist.
Okay.
And got pregnant on purpose with our oldest son, Moses. Did not know that I would be deathly ill while pregnant.
Oh.
And I was doing my internship at the time.
Oh.
And so I would like have kids come into my office. I would do therapy for them, and they'd be like, I'm going to let you go back to class early. And then I would throw up in my garbage can and like lay on the floor. So that was happening. And then my mom died unexpectedly. And so I actually stopped. I graduated with my master's degree. But when my mom died, I like inherited my 14-year-old brother. I mean, he was still living with my dad, but it was a lot.
It's a lot.
And I was pregnant and sick. I already could barely function. So I was like, how about I just take my brother to and from school, help him with his English homework.
Yep.
And make him dinner. So that's what happened. So I was and then I had Moses, and I was just at home.
Yep.
So that's, I wasn't
working. And Brett was doing.
Brett was working. So he's a general contractor. He was in IT, like high tech.
Okay.
He got laid off, started a landscaping business, got his general contractor's license, and then got really into concrete, which is what he specializes in now. Learned how to
Which finish. Is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's an art form. Yes. I mean, it takes years to learn, and he's been doing it for a very long time. And that actually, we still have that small business in California while we're here in Oregon.
Okay.
Which is good because of the accidental purchase of our farm. So we had, how can I make this not be a 5-hour podcast?
I mean, that's fine. We'll just break it up. I'll get 5 weeks out of this thing.
So, okay. So we were living on my parents' property when my mom died.
Yep.
And we were like, we had bought this house, you know, we had bought a house, but I was like, we can
in California.
Yeah. Just like 15 miles away from my dad, where my dad lived. But again, here's my brother, you know, my dad's still working. My brother, we both lost our mom. Anyways, Brett and I were like, we're going to stay here. We were living in a double wide trailer.
Yep.
Okay. On a really beautiful 3-acre piece of land, which is where we kind of got the farming bug because we had a vegetable garden and my dad was raising sheep and we had chickens and all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where we kind of learned like, whoa, we really love doing this. We don't want to live in the suburbs. We want to like land. So we had this house. We sold that house. This is years later. We sold the house that we never lived in. We lived in that double wide trailer. Drew, we slept on a fold out couch. But when we had two kids, it's a 1-bedroom double wide trailer. So the bedroom had both the kids in it, and we slept in a fold-out couch. And I told Brett, I will only agree to this if you fold up that effing couch
every day.
I cannot have a fold-out couch open in my living room. And we did. We built a lot of character. But here's the thing. It's California. We lived outside. It was beautiful weather. And yeah. I loved it. Those were like some of my best memories. And we were with my dad like
right.
all the time. And I lost my dad a few years ago. So like those were like...
Absolutely.
It was meant to be. So anyways, we sold this house that we never lived in, that we bought and then decided not to live in. We had renters in it. We sold it. And we were like, we need our own farm. So we looked... kind of like an ever widening circle from where we were living in California, and there land is very expensive, and if you find land, it's in the middle of nowhere. Like, where will your kids go to school?
Right,
you
know, they're gonna be on a bus for 2 hours.
Oh, totally. Or have no friends at all.
Right.
Anyways, so we were kind of like stuck, I guess, and we have friends here in Eugene. Jenny is a real estate agent, and they were trying to get us to move here. They were trying to tell us it was nice here, but we only ever came when the weather was like it is now, right? So when you go from California to Oregon, are you good?
I think so, yeah.
When you visit Oregon and you live in California, Oregon seems to suck. So we told Jenny, our friend who lives here, who's a realtor, we will consider moving to Oregon if you can find us a farmhouse on 10 acres near the river that needs to be renovated. She's like, okay. We thought we gave her an impossible task. And then we went on vacation to Hawaii. So we're in Hawaii with my in-laws and our little kids. And Jenny calls and she says, I found it. I found your old farmhouse on 10 acres by the river. And she sends us this picture. It's funny if you know what it looks like. It's the worst. You can't see the house.
Do you have any of these pictures on Instagram?
I don't, and I need to find them. Drew, when we moved here, I didn't even have like a cell phone.
Okay.
Like, you know, so I didn't, but we have pictures, and it was horrible. It was horrible. But she sends us the pictures, and my husband, who's like a dreamer, and you know, he's a visionary. He was like, yes. So we decided, you know, we need to see it. We need to think about it, but we don't want to miss our chance. So let's just make like a lowball offer to kind of start a conversation. And that way, when we get home, maybe we can like book a quick flight.
Right.
Go up and see it. So we make this lowball offer, and Jenny calls us the next day to tell us that they accepted the offer and that we are now the proud owners of just garbage.
Absolutely. That's garbage. Oh my god, I'd just be shitting my pants.
I told you Brett was driving and he actually went up on the curb. Like, when he
was like, whoa, and what
I
just happened
at him, and I said, what are you gonna do for work? And he was like, I don't know. Like, we did not think this through. We just didn't. Well, we were used to the California real estate market. It's very different,
right?
It's very different. So that's the story of how we accidentally bought the farm, and it was worse than we thought when we saw it in person. It was really bad. And the land, if back then I knew what I know now, we would not have bought it. I mean, it's like covered in invasive grass, and when you get rid of the invasive grass, it's bindweed. The invasive grass is holding the bindweed at bay. And it's been farmed the way these people farm. And
these
so as
people.
My husband says, they've been raping our land for years. It's dust.
Right.
It's an actual dust bowl. I have to put tons of organic matter in.
Yeah.
Because
there's zero natural soil
like
structure.
It's powder.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And the areas where I farm are, you know, the one area that was like a barren wasteland where I had my dahlias last, it is doing well because I've been like doing a lot of work on it for 5 years, but it just takes a lot.
It does.
And they burned their garbage. They buried batteries. They buried pantyhose. They buried Mardi Gras beads. You never know what you're going to find when you plant something. You just dig up like a stuffed animal.
Oh my God.
It's wild. Our pigs are always like, we're like, did you put flip-flops and a bra out there? No, did you? Oh, they must have just dug it up.
Oh my God.
It's wild. So, yeah, we have a funny farm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you bought this property, sight unseen, came to visit,
Yep.
Had a meltdown.
I did cry.
Many times, probably.
Yes. I think at one point I said, take me home. That was when our pipes were frozen for 2 weeks.
But oh,
I was
like, yes.
We don't have a home. This is our home.
This is our home. I'm so sorry.
Yep. And okay. So then I did my little research and decided I was going to farm flowers.
Yep.
And yes, you want me to talk about doing it with a family, with Let's kids.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't homeschool. My kids go to school.
Right.
And so, like, my work hours have always kind of been
mom hours.
School. Yeah, mom hours. And, but they don't have school on Fridays. And as you know, you work every day.
Sure do.
You're growing flowers. So they help. And I post a lot about it on Instagram. And I try to keep it pretty realistic. Because they do, like, now they do, they're great helpers. I mean, Moses is 17. He's strong. He's a hard worker. He's learned a ton. He knows, he and Titus know more than most, you know,
Absolutely.
First-time hires. They've been around this for years. But they have terrible attitudes a lot of the time. And I'm their mom, so they don't care. Like, if I fire them, they'd be glad.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You're not that lucky.
I know.
I'm not firing
one
you.
One time, Titus was like, I'm running away, and I quit. And I said, good. And then he, like, got a little bit of... I was like, wait a minute. No! If you run away, you win. You get back here. He was putting bags on dahlias.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so we've had, you know, it's not all whatever.
Okay.
Butterflies and hearts flying around out there. But we, Brett and I both want our kids to learn as many skills as they can.
Yeah.
From us and from living on a farm, which is a huge privilege.
Absolutely.
These days. So we involve them in a lot of things, and it really does, like, truly, if there are any parents listening, it oftentimes ruins your own experience to involve your kids. It really does. Because all of a sudden, you're, like, dealing with attitudes. You're dealing with someone who needs a water break every 5 minutes, or, you know, then they're arguing with each other. But it's a really good chance to teach them lots of things. So
okay,
they've just been along for the ride the whole time, and they're very helpful in the summer, like when we have huge harvests for, like, Monday deliveries. They just know, like, we're out there, the three of us, we're just out there, and it's cool. Like,
right,
in hindsight, those are sweet memories.
Yeah, absolutely,
being out there together.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, like, just from someone who's adjacently watching through the internet, mm-hmm. when there are people who are trying to grow or farm with their children, especially when they're younger, it's kind of a struggle for sure. Yeah. Because sometimes, like, sending them to daycare or sending them to camps are, you know, not always accessible or sometimes unattainable. So you just gotta figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I can not relate to that from my parents' perspective, but I can relate to it from, like, a child's perspective, because that was me growing up. Like, I was helping dad, like, with construction and, like, all the things that I just get so pissed at. And
totally.
I absolutely fucking hated it.
Yeah.
But here we are, and you learn so much.
You do, and now you're grateful.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Yes, you probably have a huge, deep, whatever, bag of tricks.
Absolutely,
you fixed Bethany's sink yesterday.
And I learned exactly what I don't want to do for the rest of my life.
Right, totally.
And that is...
And that's something. That's actually valuable, because
absolutely.
There are a ton of people who do the wrong thing for years.
Right.
Thinking, they go to college for the wrong thing, but you can, like, let's just cross general contractor. My kids will probably not be flower farmers. That's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
Speaking of college education... Mm-hmm. So you have this degree in counseling.
Mm-hmm.
You should. We need more farmer counselors.
But I need counseling. Like,
fuck. Therapists need therapists too.
We do.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, I loved it. I don't feel like it was a waste, even though I never quote unquote used it. Learning to be a good listener and learning to understand why people do what they do or to think that way.
Yeah.
And when you're in graduate school for psychology, you're doing all the work on yourself. So understanding, it's horrible, but understanding why you do what you do and then having to take all the personality tests and then get back, like, how dysfunctional you are and, like, an official test results. I mean, it's good. It's not fun, but it's, you know.
Right.
It's good, so.
Well, that's good. Glad that you experienced that for us.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. So, takeaways from starting and building the farm with a family. it's hard.
It
sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just said that looking back, these are memories that you're all going to be able to have together.
And I try to tell people, because a lot of people, it's mostly Instagram, will say, like, oh, this is amazing. I wish my boys were that nice. I'm like, well, my boys are, like, a lot nicer now, but Moses is 17.
Yeah.
That's...
You've gone through the shitty years.
Yeah. Like, just power through. Like, and this is every aspect of parenting. You just have to, you know, they're being a parent is very hard. So. Anyways, a lot of the time. Sometimes it's great. I love it. I love being a mom. But...
Fair.
Yeah. Power through. It gets easier. And now, like, they're stronger than me. They're taller than me.
They are really good tools.
Yeah, they are really good tools. And like Moses, like he is an expert at harvesting zinnias. He knows when they're ready. I just send him out there. You are the zinnia man. You go do that. He's got his, you know, his podcast or whatever. And he just goes and does it. And Titus knows about dahlias. He's just on it.
So perfect.
It's great. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Sweet. Wonderful. Let's move on. Finding your sales market. Let's talk about like the journey.
Sure, yes. And it has been a journey. Yeah, I mean, you know, just starting out, I wasn't even from here. I didn't know anybody. Right. Nobody knew who I was. And that's kind of a big deal, actually, in Oregon.
Yep, it's a big deal everywhere.
It seems like it's not as big of a deal in the Bay Area because it's so big. So where I'm from, I knew a lot of people. I mean, you have a community and stuff. And however, I was always around people who I didn't know. There was always a new person. And I never was, like, suspicious of them because we didn't go to middle school together. But that seems to be, like, what it's like.
That's how it is where I'm from.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It is crazy. It took me, like, 5 years to get in with the other moms once we moved
dang.
Here. And they're all really nice. But I think they were just like, I don't know who that lady is and why is she covered in paint and dirt. Like,
she's from California.
She's from California. Oh, man, they're great. But yeah, so I didn't have a network. Yep. I was just this random person. And my goal has always been to sell primarily to florists because I just like the idea of big buckets full of flowers going out to 10 people instead of 79 bouquets going out to 79 people. You know.
I get it.
So that was my goal, but I couldn't start there because I didn't know any florists and they didn't know who I was.
Right.
Which is why I started Instagram to kind of be like a resume because it's pictures.
It is.
And it was back when you could use hashtags and they actually worked.
They actually did something.
Yeah, it was actually helpful.
And then you could pay the bots to go track the hashtags.
You could do so. It made so much more sense back then.
The rogue days of Instagram.
Yes. So I started out doing a CSA, right? Like a bouquet subscription. And I started out very small and every year just made it bigger.
Yeah.
And in the meantime was developing relationships with florists. And you know, like you need to have a really good product and you need to have a consistently good product.
And you have to have volume.
You have to have volume.
Not one bunch.
Yes. And you have to have, like you can't, well, it's helpful for a lot of florists who buy from me who like have a shop and have recipes.
Yes.
You can't have 1 week of really good red snapdragons. They want 6 weeks, you know? They want to put that on their website, and they want to know that those snapdragons are going to look good every time you bring them.
Yep.
So it takes time to develop that relationship where they trust you.
For sure.
So that's what I was working on, and then gradually... Oh, and then I started doing weddings because I just needed to make more money and move more flowers and taught myself and took a few workshops and stuff how to make bouquets.
Yeah.
It was very stressful. But it was also fun in its own way. And then last year was the first year that I felt comfortable. It was a combination of feeling comfortable and feeling super burned out. I just couldn't do a subscription, as many florist deliveries as we were doing, and weddings, and dried flowers. And it was too much for me.
Yep.
Because I, like I said, I have mom hours.
Yep.
And I have kids and all that stuff. So I took away weddings. And I took away bouquet subscriptions last year, which felt really
yikes
dumb. But I just thought, I'm setting a goal for myself. I'm going to replace that income with florist sales. And we did.
Perfect.
We beat that goal, you know. So
yeah,
that was a great feeling. But I could only do that because I had established these relationships.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely something that takes time in order to be able to make a call.
And it also takes, like we're a team. The better my florists do, the better I do. Because then they can buy more flowers from me.
Yeah.
And so it's like this, whatever, supporting each other.
Mutually inclusive.
It really is, yeah. And so, like, I get a lot of people, how can we support your farm? I'm like, well, go to these florists.
Go to the florists.
And buy their flowers. And they're and I would recommend these florists anyways. They're amazing artists. So then everybody wins.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, looking forward to this year, what does the sales plan look like?
Yeah. So
if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, I brought back a spring subscription.
Because
I planted way too many tulips.
Not too many.
I planted...
It's just more than you've ever done before.
More than I've ever thought I would ever do. And I kind of had like a panic moment when I was like, that can't be right. I was like adding up bed by bed and I was like...
Oh, shit.
Over 20,000? Like what? I grew 6,000 tulips last year. Okay. Yeah, so that's why I was like, okay, and we're doing a spring subscription, and it'll be fine. It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine.
Because totally
they're
going to
be fucking gorgeous, and you're going to have so many customers.
It's going to be amazing, but I need that, you know, I brought back the spring subscription.
You need that cushion.
Yeah. And I have the help I need for making a million bouquets on top of everything else. And, you know, tulips are labor intensive, so.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. So that's what we're I'm working on those florist relationships.
Yep.
And like I told you, I mean, this is into your next question. I mean, there are a lot of ideas in my head.
Right.
For things I want to do in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
But my kids are still home and I'm still always at a wrestling tournament or something. So, and I want to be able, that's one of the reasons I stopped weddings, because weddings are on the weekend. So I do work on the weekend, but I don't want to be gone on the weekend. You know, like my kids are gone at school Monday through Thursday. They don't have school Friday, but I'd like to be able to see them.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. So the sales plan is, well, and you know, I do sell dried flowers, but
yes,
on a small level, but we just have a kind of steady trickle of dried flowers always going out. And this last fall, we actually got set up for shipping with the goal to ship wreaths.
Nice.
So dried wreaths, fresh wreaths. We shipped some this last year, but I'll actually have my act together this year. So the goal is to ship fresh wreaths, eucalyptus wreaths. People love the
beautiful
fresh eucalyptus wreaths.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great plan.
Thank you.
How many tulips do you actually have? Is it like 30?
It's between 20 and 30. I need to like add it up. And you know what's crazy? Because you saw my beds. It does not look like you could possibly fit, but each one of those has at least like
8 to 10.
Yeah, or like 7 to 8,000 in it, because they're so close together, and those beds are like 4 or 5 feet wide.
Right.
And so, 1, 2, 3, 4. And what's 8 times 4?
24.
Yeah, I think it's between.
No.
Is it 32?
32. Girl.
Maybe I'll be shipping tulips this year.
You're probably going to be.
5 years I want to ship tulips. It might happen this year.
Well, if you need a crash course, do you know some people who can help you?
Yes, I do. Do you have a podcast on that yet?
No.
Okay. Get on it.
There's no magic sauce to shipping. It just takes some balls of steel.
I know.
And a hell of a lot of nerve.
Oh. No!
Okay, we're back. We Oh my god, the audio is so much better now.
Oh.
This is hilarious. You would think after doing this for almost 2 years at this point that I would fucking know how to
You've
run
had
two
a
microphones.
Long couple of days. It's okay.
It's fine.
You guys, we've been talking into microphones that weren't plugged in. I'm following instructions. I'm holding it close. Drew was like, Heather, you need to listen to this. Hold the microphone close. I've been doing it. He didn't even plug it in.
Oh my God. I guess that's what driving for basically the last month does to you. Jesus Christ. Anyway, here we are.
It's amazing.
Okay, wonderful. So I was saying before we took a break to have a reality check, shipping is very straightforward.
Yes.
You're putting shit in a box. You're making sure it's tight.
Right.
And you're FedExing it overnight.
Right. And you do this a lot.
Every week.
Do you put cold packs in?
If you want your customer to feel good, you do.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that shit's melted before FedEx
picks it up. It's true. Yeah. That's right. So you're just throwing, you might as well just put a $5 bill and tape it into the box.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay. Forget it. Good to know. And tulips are hardy. I mean.
They are. Tulips and peonies are the easiest thing to ship.
Yes.
So.
Okay. Well, that might be my backup plan.
Well, you let me know if you have questions.
Okay. Well.
Gorge. Okay. Let's move into point number three.
Mm-hmm.
Long-term goals.
Yeah.
Let's talk about business goals.
Sure.
And we can tag team this. I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, it's fine. I mean, it's good. I think about this because as a mom, okay, so I have an eighth grader and a junior. Obviously, I will still be a mom when these boys are older.
Right.
But theoretically, in 5 years, I won't have kids in the house or they'll be fully independent, right? Hopefully. Or somewhat independent. I can go off mom hours in 5 years. I can go back to like normal.
We can work on Fridays.
That's
now.
Right. Exactly. And so then, you know, because I want a beautiful space on my property where I can have workshops, where I can do a seed starting class, where we can do a wreath workshop that's not off my property.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to ship the peonies that I put in, ship tulips.
The gorgeous pastel elegance that yes. will mature in 5 years.
Yes. That's going to, that I have to charge $8 a stem for, but whatever.
It doesn't matter.
It's okay. They're so good. I would like to maybe ship dried flowers. I mean, I have a lot of ideas in my head.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of potential. People love local flowers here. They just love them. They're super supportive of my business and like all of my farmer friends. There's definitely room to grow, but I'm just not at a place where I can grow it right now. So I'm like, let's just maintain, be really smart about things until I can really go for it and feel good about it.
Are you number goal oriented at all?
Number in terms of?
Money.
Money. Oh, yeah. It's all about the money.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all smart. About the money. Yeah.
Do you have like a... In 3 years, I want to do $500,000 in sales.
You know, I need to. I am scared of numbers. I'm scared of, you know, not hitting the numbers. Yeah. And so, like, I started really low. And I don't remember. I honestly don't remember what it was. It was like, I want. Well, we're profitable. I'm profitable right now. Okay. So that's a goal that some people don't hit. So that's good. But it also is because I don't have anyone to pay. I don't have any staff.
Because you feed them and you buy their clothes. That's
right. I do pay my kids.
And you take them to practice.
It's true. I do. I know. Dang it.
Yes.
I do pay the kids. But, you know, I don't have like a full-time like staff or anything like that. So anyhow, that was just also a goal to like be able to actually have a crew.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm super number oriented, but I haven't sat down and really been like, okay, what is a realistic goal? Mm-hmm. I'll do like, I want to double my florist sales. That's like, and I did that this last year. And that was like, oh, wow. I actually set a goal and I did it. And that feels like, okay, so things are doable when you, you know, are very specific with your goals. Are you this way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just, with myself for sure. Yeah. I don't always share things with the crew right from the beginning with like the full crew.
Yeah.
I just like to keep like a tally like throughout the season. So like if our goal is... you know, 500,000 in sales by November before the Christmas season. If I'm at like 200 by September, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
We got to really start humping these dahlias out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that it's definitely a goal. Yeah. And goals, the reason I asked if you're number oriented or number focused or motivated is that not everybody is.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's the process that motivates people.
Oh, not me. I mean, I am like, I love growing flowers, you know, and I obviously anyone who does it, I haven't been doing it a super long time. I've been doing it 5 years, but I obviously love the process because I could make a lot more money doing something else.
Absolutely.
I have a master's degree. I could go.
You get a job.
I could go
at any university.
Work anywhere. As a therapist and make a lot more money. Yeah. But I don't want that lifestyle. I love doing it and I like the challenge of it.
Right.
It's a little bit like maybe a gambling addiction that we have. We literally bury money.
We do.
And then we hope that more money comes up.
Yep.
And then we're fighting against totally things that are completely out of our control.
Yep.
That we cannot predict.
Yep.
it's a little crazy, but it's kind of like a rush, right?
It is.
It's kind of great. Yeah. Yeah.
That, no.
What was, fine. Okay.
It's fine. The rush, that is, it cracks me up because it's like the thousands of dollars that we spend on peonies.
Yeah.
I was so like, when I started the farm, that was what I was quote unquote calling my retirement fund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is these peonies.
Yes.
And then you get to the point where you can actually start to put money in an actual retirement fund. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, okay. So now I have play money to buy more peonies.
I know. Exactly. This is working out very well.
This is actually working.
It's like better than the stock market.
Well,
sometimes.
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 Not all the time.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I can tell that you're very, I mean, you're focused. You've got a plan. And do you, like, I mean, do you do, this is the beginning of a new year. These are boom, boom, boom. Goals is what I'm going to sell. This is the, I mean, how structured are you with your goal setting? I guess that's my question.
So since our business is kind of divided into three parts, we have the wholesale cuts, mm-hmm. we have weddings and events, mm-hmm. and then we have young plants.
Yeah.
It's a little easier for me to just set, like, if we're talking like financial wise, set an overall year goal.
Right.
And then once the spring shipping season wraps up for plants, I can kind of get a really good gauge, a realistic gauge of, you know, okay, you know, from January 1 to April 30th, we sold this much. So then I have, you know, 8 more months to
right.
pick up the rest.
Yeah.
This year, 2023, there's some major things happening within the business. As far as like investing in the space and infrastructure from a plant perspective, mm-hmm. but also from a labor perspective too. So from a plant perspective, we're planting the last 4 acres that are attached to the original property that I grew up on.
That's great.
So, and that's all going into shrub production. So that's a lot of money
yes.
that we're pouring out into 5,000 fucking shrubs.
Yeah. That will not make you money for a little while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's that retirement.
Yeah.
Right there.
But when they start, you will thank
I know.
2023 Drew yes. every day.
Oh, God.
It's going to be awesome. I'm picturing
like the wagon loads of 9 bark that we're going to be able to harvest yeah. and sell because there's never enough.
It's going to be amazing.
But along with that project goes, you know, extending the deer fence around the 9 Ugh. Acres and water and weed management and plants and labor. So there's a lot of things that go into that one specific thing. But from a labor perspective, this is the first year that we're really, really pushing and hoping to be able to utilize the H2A program.
Yeah.
2022, I tried to go into it on my own. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a labor broker, wasn't working with anybody else like to help facilitate the process. And I can tell you that when we had the house inspector come, because you have to have your living situation inspected
right.
for your potential employees, he was floored that anyone was stupid enough to try and do the process on their own.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh fuck. And like this is all happening like right as like peony season is like just ramping up. So it's like chaos with peonies, and I've got a pissed off mother of a bride, and I've got, you know, trying to navigate the H2A program yeah. and it's like all of this stuff. So we make it through the house inspection, and then my application got flagged for some typo that I had. And I was like, fuck this.
Yeah,
like
just
I can't
table that.
Yep, table that. So restarted it this year utilizing a labor broker out of Ohio. Mm-hmm. The process is so much better.
Good.
Like she's a professional.
Yeah,
she knows what she's doing. This is her living.
Perfect.
I just sign this, yeah. read the fine print, and then keep the ball rolling.
Perfect.
So our goal for this year is to have 2 H2A employees. Our farm manager is from Mexico mm-hmm. on a technician's visa. Oh. And Julio is his name. And we're all very, very excited for him to actually have comrades now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's not working with white guys.
Right, yeah.
So we're all very, very excited to be able to kind of expand the farm family a mm-hmm. little bit.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
We're really looking forward to that. And I think the labor piece, actually, everywhere I go, every farm I visited this year, which is up to like 15 now. Mm-hmm. Everyone says the same thing. And one of those is there's a labor problem.
Yes.
There's just not enough people who truly understand what goes into growing cut flowers for business.
Yeah.
This is not a garden. This is not a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we pay our bills. This is how you, this is one of the ways you feed your children.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I plan for my retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a real
thing. This is a big deal.
Yeah. Yes. This is a real fucking deal. And if you're going to think that you're going to pick flowers in the sundress, baby, you're a gardener.
Yeah. Okay. Stop texting pictures to your friends.
Because they
get
really,
back to work.
They don't give a shit.
Exactly.
Start harvesting this and put it in a bucket. Yeah, there's a huge difference between a gardener and a flower farmer.
Uh-huh.
But in hand to that, labor is a huge, huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I really want to be able to do or learn is just this first year experience the H2A from a back-end perspective, and then kind of help use that information and experience and knowledge to hopefully help some other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because even though like Sunny Meadows is doing a tremendous job of, you know, working with ASCFG and like publications on, you know, navigating the H2A program, mm-hmm. there's just so much that like we don't know until you get in and you do it.
Yeah.
So we need some more advocates and people talking about things that growers who are wanting to scale up their business really need help with.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be valuable.
Let's hope.
For a lot of people.
Hope that goes well.
Yeah.
So
when do your workers, like what's the start time? So how does that work?
We actually got our application in late.
Oh, that's okay. Even with help?
Oh my God. Yeah, it's because I was on vacations. Visiting with other growers who just were bitching about the same thing.
Oh,
wonder
funny.
What that's like. Anyway, so we're supposed to get guys the middle end of May. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're running May through November.
Okay.
So May we'll be able to wrap up dahlia planting with the new crew, get through the summer season, and then dig dahlias and plant shrubs in the fall.
Yes.
So dahlias are getting pulled out the last week of October, regardless of frost schedule. Mm. And then that'll leave us 2 weeks in November to plant shrubs.
I love it. Because your winter comes in like and shuts you down.
Quick and hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this past year, we were a month ahead of schedule for winter, which fucking sucked.
Oh, darn it.
We had a month. Yeah. We lost dahlias a month early. And then it started to snow.
Gosh darn it.
And yeah, it was negative 11 for the week before Christmas.
That's so different than here. Because we just, if you wait too long, you're just going to be miserable. You're just in the rain and the mud. But we don't freeze. Yeah. The ground doesn't. I mean, it does in February, maybe once.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's very different.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good.
Any other thoughts, goals, things you want to say?
No, this has been great.
Okay. Fantastic. Thanks for doing this.
You're welcome. Thanks. So good to meet you, Drew.
I know.
Came all the way out to Oregon.
Surprise.
I know.
I'm really coming back, though, so we'll meet again.
Yeah, no, that's good. I want you to come back. That's good.
We've got a long list of people who are kind of pissed that I'm not seeing them this
year. There's so many to see out here.
Dude, we don't have this at home.
Yeah, this is, yeah. Well,
which actually is okay because we don't have that many people to sell to at home. But
oh. That's okay. That's funny. I guess less competition. I don't know.
Well, there's less people to sell to.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you are listening to this and you want more information, more content, more everything of Heather, they can find you and follow you at?
I am at Petal Pink Flowers on Instagram, and that's also the name of my website. Petal Pink Flowers, no spaces, .com.
No spaces.
No spaces.
Are you on Facebook?
Ish. I suck at Facebook so bad. Please don't anyone ever send me a Facebook message. I cannot like open it. I can't read it. I promise I'm not mean.
No, I'm not ignoring you.
But I go sometimes I manage to hack my Facebook and I'm like, oh, I have 32 messages. I can't even access them. I don't know.
Turn the messages off.
Okay.
It's a game changer.
I need to do that.
It's a game changer.
I just basically have my Instagram cross posts to Facebook, and every once in a while I go on there and will post because I have a lot of local people who follow me. older people also are on Facebook, and some of my very best customers are like older people who are on Facebook, and I love them. So I go on there and post stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Instagram, Facebook, website.
Yep.
If you're local to the area, mm-hmm. they can buy your subscription.
You can.
You can ship them dried flowers.
I can.
Bouquets.
I'm not there yet.
Like, well, why the fuck
I
not?
I can ship you a wreath, and I am working on it.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just got it set up. We're figuring out what size box. I mean, all the crazy stuff that goes into, you're just like marrying somebody. Like, you what are. Size box? That determines what size bouquet. And then it determines like how big they are when you dry them and store them. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. But we'll get there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it was wonderful to chat with you.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for being here.
I loved it.
Good. It's not too painful.
It's not bad.
Okay.
This is great.
Fantastic. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Drew.
We'll see you. Bye. All right. There we are. Thank you so much for Miss Heather from Petal Pink Flowers for joining me. We kept this under an hour. You know, it's almost like this is my part-time job or something. But thank you for listening. Please do follow Heather. She's got a fabulous Instagram account. She also has a subscription part of her Instagram account. So if you're wanting more personalized or information focused content, you are able to take advantage of that as well. So if you have any questions, you can let Heather know. And also, if there's anyone in particular that you would like to see me visit or interview or have on the podcast, let me know. Send me an email or leave it in a comment on Instagram, and I'm sure I'll see it. As always, all of the contact information for people on the podcast, and myself included, is in the description for today's episode. And I will see you next Friday for the next episode. And until then, have a great day. Have a great life. Don't die. If you do, have fun doing it. Bye.